The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
So, Elliot, we talked about this once before, online versus, you know, in-person banking. You're all right with digital, aren't you?
I am. And, you know, today's global financial system is anchored by traditional banks, but we have seen how it's been disrupted by fintech players. And it's not a slow disruption, it's a really fast rate how they've entered the market.
So we're entering a world of instant, invisible, free payments, all of that's here to stay. That means it squeezes margins further on a business that was already actually feeling a lot of pressure from new competition, particularly in Southeast Asia.
On another front, drastic changes in financial technology are also making regulation increasingly challenging for firms to keep up. So, you know, how can traditional banks prepare themselves for this fintech disruption? Is prepare even the word to use now?
So get with the program. The program is rolling. Also, what is the Singapore government doing to regulate the disruptions? This is a very big talking point. We have with us in the studio Divyesh Vitlani, who's the Managing Director of Financial Services in ASEAN at Accenture. Vitlesh, lovely to see you.
Good morning.
So let's look at the research, right, Elliot?
Okay, I'll give you the numbers. This research done by Accenture, as much as 14.3% of banks' payments revenue in Southeast Asia, or nearly $5 billion. That's likely to be displaced by the growth of digital payments and competition from non-banks, payments becoming more instant, invisible, and the best part is free.
I like that.
Divyesh, how did this trend come about? Why is this trend continuously on the rise?
So good morning, guys. So let's take a step back and, you know, understand what digital transformation is actually doing, right? Not just in financial services, but in all walks of life.
Sure.
Driving here this morning, I heard you guys talking about Disney launching its streaming service, right? And I kind of equate what banks are trying to do and fintechs are trying to do is to be more and more like the Netflix of financial services, right? Which is, let's provide consumers with the right services, the right products, at the right price, at the right time of their choosing. And we're seeing that in financial services. And payments happens to be the most frequent financial transaction that we undertake. And that's the biggest signal that we emit that banks and fintechs are trying to capture so that they can upsell other products such as insurance and lending.
So you mentioned payments in particular with regard to Southeast Asia. What sort of changes are we seeing in terms of payments here?
So as you mentioned in your intro, payments are becoming invisible. What does that mean? So you make payments without even realizing that you're actually doing it. So getting a ride-hailing company or ride-hailing share ride, you come here, you get out of the car, the payment is done in the background without you realizing it. And that's what we're starting to see. So it's becoming invisible. It's becoming fast because of technology that's enabling that.
If we talk about Asia, and let's exclude China from this because their ecosystem there is quite humongous. In Asia or Southeast Asia, which country has seen the fastest growth in this e-payments trend? I'm guessing Singapore.
Look, I think it's across all of ASEAN, right? We're seeing it in Singapore. We're seeing it in all of the neighboring countries, sure. Indonesia, even Vietnam, which is the fastest growing internet economy, you know, in all of the ASEAN markets. So we're seeing across the board.
Okay, so we pointed out earlier that one of the issues is, I mean, it's great, it's wonderful consumers, it's very exciting. There are obviously lots of different agencies that are trying to get in on the action. But one of the biggest agencies we have to think about is government, and we have to think about regulation. There's always been this fear, hasn't there, that the regulation needs to keep up with how fast this tech is going. So how have the regulations in the ASEAN region been rolled out?
So I think if we take the example of what the MAS has done, and it's actually quite timely to speak about that because we are actually in the throes of the Singapore FinTech Festival. I would say that the MAS has been absolutely at the forefront of sponsoring and supporting regulation that allows this kind of innovation to take place. So what we hear from the MAS is that the payments rails, a digital ID, an electronic KYC or Know Your Customer process are absolutely fundamental building blocks to creating a seamless, efficient financial economy. So I would say that the regulators are kind of really supporting this wave of innovation. Some are slightly ahead than others, but the examples that we see here in Singapore are absolutely leading the way.
We talk about it like as a wave of innovation. And Divyesh, when we talk about the payments or the e-payments landscape, I mean, ultimately, you want every single person living in a country to be on the e-payments platform. But I'm curious, where do you go from there once you've got everyone on board? What innovation can come about next, hypothetically?
So honestly, I feel that payments is just the beginning.
Okay.
Right? I think once most of us are using electronic payments and cashless payments through our wallets, through our phones, through our banking systems, banking apps, we are then providing a whole host of data and signals which banks and other providers can then use in order to come back to us with products such as mortgages, such as loans, such as insurance products, such as investment products, which are much better suited for our needs because they'll be completely curated on a very personalized level.
Call me a total Luddite, dinosaur, what you will. Elliot's smiling, laughing at me. Go for it. But I still have this issue with all of this because I'm really nervous about security. I'm really nervous about, you know, every other day we hear of another cyber attack. So, I mean, what's the latest research on that?
So, look, you're absolutely right to point that out. And again, if I just take a step back, and if I sort of talk about my sort of ABC of digital transformation, it's actually A to F, right? Okay. So it's being agile, it's about business-led, it's about being consumer-centric, it's about being data-driven, and it's about partnering with the ecosystems. But Manisha, on your point about the threats of security, the F stands for ensuring that all of the technology that you build is completely fraud-resilient, right? So whilst we will continue to see folks trying to do all the bad things and all the bad actors out there, the regulators are putting in place controls to ensure that the digital systems and the platforms that are built are absolutely fault tolerant.
There are these somewhat regulatory frameworks, or commonly called sandboxes as well, to manage this sort of disruption. Could you share a little bit more about what the other parts of ASEAN are doing in terms of these sandboxes?
So again, it started here in Singapore as far as MAS started that. And we've now seen that spread across the rest of the ASEAN countries. And I think sandboxes are a great way to insulate, to experiment in order to make sure, to Manisha's point, that before you deploy something to the masses, it has been thoroughly tested and vetted and is fit for purpose before it gets released to the general public.
In terms of time frame, I believe in Singapore it's 9 months. Is it similar in other parts of ASEAN?
I would say it's more or less the same. I think that other countries are sort of probably looking at Singapore as leading the way in this.
Yeah, I do. I thought this is. I think this has been one of the emerging topics of conversation from the FinTech Festival, how Singapore has positioned itself so well to be at the front end of this entire conversation around FinTech and developments in FinTech. Let's talk about open banking, though. Can you just, first of all, just talk about what is open banking? Just get us all on the same page.
So look, open banking is, again, going back to what I said earlier about making sure that the consumer is really the king. I mean, we've heard the expression customer is king or customer is right. It's as old as commerce itself.
Yeah.
But only now we're starting to see that coming to fruition. So open banking is really about making sure that the services that you're receiving from your bank are competitively priced, and not just because the bank is telling you that they're competitively priced, but you can actually see it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Because in the UK, for instance, if I have an account with Bank A, I can now start to see my balances from Bank B on my Bank A's mobile app.
That's convenient.
Furthermore, what I can then do is Bank A may say, well, we can offer you a slightly better rate of interest if you were to transfer.
That totally changes the game. I mean, if you're a CEO of one of these banks, that completely flips your model, doesn't it?
Exactly. And I think it's really about the MAS is trying to do here as well, is to ask all of the banks to expose their products and services and data with the consent of the consumer through APIs, such that this level of transparency can be brought to bear and the customer is ultimately empowered to make the right decisions about their financial well-being.
Divyesh Vithlani, Managing Director of Financial Services in ASEAN at Accenture, in the studio with us. Divyesh, just to wrap things up. For many years now, or at least the past 2 or 3 years, we've been talking about how ASEAN, we've been asking how ASEAN's traditional banks can prepare themselves for fintech disruption. Is prepare the right word to use? What's your opinion of this statement?
So I think prepare is the right word to use. Maybe a couple of years ago, we used to hear more and more about the fintechs disrupting, taking over, threatening the traditional banks. I see it more as a collaboration between the incumbent banks and the fintechs. If we just look at some of the stats, for instance, again in the UK, where the neobanks, the new banks, have been at it for a lot longer, they're struggling in terms of making money and making profits. So I think what they're starting, the wave we're starting to see here, is that the incumbent banks are now partnering with fintechs, because you can't solve everything yourself. Let's try and stitch together a whole ecosystem of partnerships, including fintechs, in order to solve the problem and provide the best value to the consumer.
Thanks very much. Divyesh Vithlani, Managing Director of Financial Services in ASEAN at Accenture, in the studio with us. Have a great week ahead.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.